It's a joy to be here. If you will, take your Bibles and open them to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. We'll get an early start for the school kids. I'm not going to quote chapter 2. Sometimes I have a hard enough time reading it. But this is what the Lord has laid on my heart. And let me say this, I appreciate the privilege to preach in this pulpit. And I appreciate the privilege, opportunity to try to do what I can do for the Lord. And then I want to publicly thank you and this church for your prayers, especially for my wife when she had COVID. Both of us had COVID, but she had it a whole lot worse than I did. And I'll be honest with you, there was a few days that I didn't think she was going to make it. I'll be honest with you. And a lot of people were praying for her, and I know you were praying for her. I got several messages from individuals here in the church and letting us know that we were in your prayers. And I appreciate the Lord touching her and sparing her life. And to be here, I don't know what I'd do without her, to be honest with you. But the Lord touched her and helped her, and she's not quite over it yet, neither am I, but sometimes we have good days and bad days. But I appreciate the Lord touching her. When she came home from the hospital, had oxygen for several weeks, and but the Lord's touched her, and she's here tonight, hadn't had oxygen for quite some time. And I do appreciate you. I want you to know I appreciate your prayers for her. And I appreciate God touching her and helping her. All right, Philippians chapter number 2. Just for the sake of time, I want to read verse number 12 down through verse number 16 and take a thought out of this. I will go to one more portion of Scripture and try to tie those verses together and bring you what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart. I prayed before we came up, you know, should I get a chance to preach? And I'd just soon be sitting down there listening to your pastor preach, to be honest with you. But I love to try to preach. I used to say I love to preach, but I've changed it. I love to try to preach. After hearing a lot of these other preachers preach, that's all I can do is try. But I prayed and asked the Lord, you know, if I should get the opportunity, what would you have me to deliver? And this is the first thing God touched my heart with. And from hearing the preaching of the Word of God this morning and the message from this morning, and preacher, when he was getting ready to close, he talked about your purpose. What is God's purpose for your life? And I put it this way. When the Lord saved you, and if you're here tonight and you're saved, the Lord did not save you just from a place. He did not save you just to keep you out of hell. But He saved you for a purpose. And everybody, I believe, that is saved, everybody that gets saved, I believe that God has a perfect will for your life. And it's up to you to decide if you're going to do that. The preacher mentioned it this morning. The Lord's not going to force anybody to get saved. And He's not going to force you to serve Him. But I do believe that He can make it in such a way that you will wish you had. He said, preacher, you got Bible for that? It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. At the judgment seat of Christ, you and I are going to give account of our service, not our sin. That's already been dealt with. We were found guilty. Jesus paid the price, died on the cross, paid that sin debt. Now it's up to you and I to decide. Preacher, why do you serve the Lord? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think verse number 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. I serve the Lord because I love Him, because of what He's done for me. 44 years that I've been saved, God's been good to me. The least I could do, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, listen to this, which is your reasonable service. The least that you and I can do is serve Him. That's just the least. How do we serve Him? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, the devil's after your mind. And if he can get your mind, he's got you. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will for your life. And I cannot stand up here and tell you what it is that God wants you to do. I believe I can take the Bible and show you some things that I know God wants you to do. But far as God's perfect will for your life, you've got to find out what that is. A song in our song book, Trust and Obey. We're pretty good on the trusting part, but what about that obedience part? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You want to know why some of you sit here tonight and you're not happy? You're not serving the Lord. Amen. Amen. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to be content. If you're just saved, then that's it. You go to heaven, but you won't be satisfied when you get to heaven. I don't want to be a hobo when I get to heaven. Amen. I serve the Lord because I love Him, because of everything that He's done for me. Preacher talked about being raised in the mill village. Well, I tell you, we had some times, and I'll be honest, I am ashamed of my past. If you knew who I was before God passed by my way, you'd probably walk out of church and I don't want to hear him preach. But the thing is, you're probably just as bad as I was. And I don't know your past. But here's what I want you to understand tonight. God has something that he wants you to do. And I want to try to help you with that tonight. Philippians chapter 2. Look at me with verse number 12 down through verse number 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now notice this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, verse 13 goes with that. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In verse 13, God works salvation into you. But in verse number 12, we need to work out what God works in. We don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. And you start talking about work, a lot of people will shy away from that, especially when they can stay home and get money. And we wonder why we're in the condition we're in today. And I'm not going to get political tonight. Anyway, verse number 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I'm interested in the last part of verse number 15, where the Bible says, whom ye shine as lights in the world. And that's what I want to deal with for just a little bit tonight, on shining lights in a dark world. Now there's no doubt about it that you and I are living in some dark days, spiritually speaking, and you could probably add a few other things in that. We're living in a dark world. But I'm awful glad that when the Lord saved us, He took us out of that darkness. And He placed us in the light. Well, not only in the light, but He is the light. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And basically, when we get saved, He takes up residence inside of us, and He's the light inside of us. I always remember a little story that I heard many years ago of a little girl who was in Bible school all week long. And all week long, they begin to teach that little girl about how big God is. And it come down to the end of the week, and they were asking questions, and little girl raised her hand. She said, "I have a question." She said, "All week long, y'all been teaching us that we serve a big God, and we have little hearts. If that big God is in our hearts, won't he stick out a little bit?" You'll get that in just a little bit. It might take a little bit to get. But he's inside of us, and he's that light. And what we're to do as born-again children of God is to take that light that's inside of us, and I'll go to Matthew in just a minute, and we are to let that light shine. Well, matter of fact, just turn over to Matthew chapter 5, and then we'll come back to the book of Philippians. Maddie asked me what book I was preaching out of tonight. And I don't normally tell where I'm preaching out of. My wife said, "Well, you've done it better than I did." I asked my husband what he's going to preach, and he tell me. He don't tell me because he don't want the devil to know. But you know how it is with grandkids. You probably do more for them than you do for, you know, others. But anyway, let me say something else. When my wife and I was at home, I had resigned from my church about a month ago, month and a half ago. And before I resigned, everybody in our church got COVID except three or four people. So we had to shut the church down for about a month. And that whole month, we stayed at home. And we got to watch the live services from here. And every service, we got to watch on the live stream. And when you would be having fellowship, Wyatt would step out in the middle of the aisle, and he would look at that camera, and he would wave. And he was waving at us. If any of you see, he's not going crazy. He was waving at Nana and Papa. And to top it off, one service, I think it might have been a Sunday night, he done the same thing. He waved and walked out of the view of the camera. Preacher got up out here, and I guess he was getting ready to get everybody back in the seat, and he went. But I'm sure he wasn't waving at us. There was somebody back there that he was waving at. And I told my wife, we was laying on the bed watching. I said, "Even the preacher's waving at us." But I appreciate the live services. I mean, that was a help to us. Couldn't go to church. Wanted to. I'll be honest, I don't understand how people can hit and miss in and out and off and on when it comes to church attendance. I just don't understand that. But anyway, look at Matthew chapter number 5. Look at verse 13 through 16. "Ye are salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing." That's where that phrase come around, that somebody's good for nothing. Now, this is where they got it from. "It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Now notice verse number 14. "Ye are the light of the world." He didn't say if you want to be. If you feel like it, if you want to be. But when you get saved and when I got saved, we automatically, immediately become the light of the world. Now notice that verse 14. "Ye are the light of the world." Notice this. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." But sometimes we're pretty good about hiding that light that's inside of us. And that's what I want to deal with. How that we can not let the light that's inside of us be hid to a world. If there's ever been a time that the children of God need to let our light shine, it's the days in which you and I live in. The world is at uneasy now. People are scared to death of everything. We went to Washington yesterday, I think it was, and we went to the Jefferson Memorial. And I got on the elevator to go downstairs because I had to go to a little boy's room. I guess you can say that from the pulpit. I got on the elevator, and there was a woman and a man got on there with me. I didn't have on a mask. They did, and I'm not against them, but I just didn't put one on. And they had one, and I got on there, and I thought I must have had the plague or something. I got on the elevator with them, and they was way up against the wall like I was going to do something to them or something. And I started to say something, but I didn't. But the world is scared to death of everything that's going on today. And I understand what we need to do. I understand all that. But we can be a big influence to the world today. And that's what we need to be. We need to be the light that's in this dark world. Now look at verse number 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in a house. Now verse 16 is what I want to look at. Notice what this verse says. It says, let your light. And I love that next word, so. That word so means there's a reason why that we need to let our light shine. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see, not hear. The world needs to see Christ in our lives more than they need for us to say what we say. Let me give you a little slogan. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So, preacher, I don't understand that. We'll let Pastor Brandon explain it to you after the service. Here's what it means. We can say all day long what we are, but we can prove it by what we are, not what we say we are. It's easy to stand up and say, I'm a child of God. And you come to church on Sunday morning and shout glory, hallelujah. But what are we going to do on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? How are we going to live our lives? You can come to a church like this and sit here and you can put on a show, so to speak. But when you get back out in the world, when you go to work tomorrow morning, how much light are we going to shine? How bright is the light that we're shining? You know, the darker the night, the brighter the light. But notice verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, by way of introduction, look at this. There is a requirement here. Notice what the requirement is. I used to say that this was a request, but it's not a request. This is a requirement that God has given to you and I. And the requirement is this, that we are to let. It ought to be easy for you and I to live our everyday lives and live in such a way that people can see Christ in our lives. The place that I used to work before I retired, the ladies that worked in the same room that I worked in, worked in the mail room, did all the mail that come in and went out. And they were in the scanning department where they scanned all the mail. And I tried to live right in front of them, Brother David. I tried to do right. I failed miserably. I'm no super saint. I do fail God from time to time. But there was a few years ago when it come around on my birthday and they gave me this little old wooden plaque. It's about that long, maybe about that tall. And it says this. It says, live in such a way that those who do not know the Lord will come to know the Lord because they know you. That's the way we ought to be living our lives. We ought to be living in such a way that the people that we come in contact with, that they know without a doubt that there's something different about us. I mean, we walk different, we talk different, we act different, we talk and dress different, and do all that. We ought to be different. I think if there's one word that if you had to describe Christianity in one word, the one word that I would use would be the word different. And I think we ought to be different. We should not live like the world lives. Amen. We ought to be different. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'm glad that my life is new now. It's different from what I used to be, and it's all because of the good grace of God. So this is the requirement. He says, Matthew says, let your light so shine. And then he noticed the region. He said, before men. And I believe that's everybody that we come in contact with. Tomorrow, if you have a job and you're going to go to work tomorrow, you ought to go to work with the intentions of living right and doing right, because you never know who's watching your life. You'll never know who's looking at you, who's watching your lives, and they're paying attention to what you do because they know you're saved, and some of them probably even know where you go to church. And so we ought to live in such a way. Let that light out. Let the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that's inside of us, just let it out. So there's the requirement. There's the region. There's the reason. Notice what Matthew says, that they may see your good works. Now again, we don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. But then there's the results of that, where Matthew says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But then I want to look tonight at the recipe. So you can go back to Philippians. Here in the book of Philippians, Paul writing here to the church, and he's going to give you and I some ways that we can allow the light that's inside of us to shine forth, and that that light can be a difference in somebody else's life. Now, there's the recipe. Now, this is just three brief things, just as quickly as I can give them to you tonight. The first thing is this: where are we to shine? Well, look in Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse number 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Now here it is. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. As the preacher mentioned this morning, we're living in a sick world. We're living in a sinful world. This world in which you and I is living is not a friend of God. It's not a friend of the church. It's not a friend of the Bible. The world in which you and I are living in tonight is anti-Bible. It's anti-God. It's anti-church. Everything is against God. I've been telling our folk down home that the government is wanting to stamp out Christianity. If they had their way, they'd close every church. They just try to bring up COVID as a way to shut everything down. And I realize that it's real, but can I say this? There's people tonight that are not in church tonight that used to be in church, but they are using COVID as an excuse not to go to church. When all this started a couple of years ago, my fear was this, and I stated this to our church, that I fear that the day would come when people would use that as an excuse so they could stay at home. You know, thank God for live stream services and for those that are watching here. But can I say this? You should never allow the house of God just go, well, I can watch it on live stream. And I realize I'm preaching to the choir because you're here tonight. But it's a shame that it has got to that condition. But where are we to shine? The Bible says in this world. Now, how are we to shine? And this is the meat of the message. In verse number 14, here's how we can let our light shine. Because in verse number 14 and verse number 15, we're given seven ways that we can let our light shine. Seven ways that you and I, as children of God, can display the life, the light that is inside of us. Look in verse number 14. Do all things without murmurings. We left church this morning, was going down the road. We got up to the stop sign, and we were talking about a few things, and as we made the turn to get on 29, Brother Brandon said he used this word, murmurings. And the church that I just got through pastoring, they knew a lot about the word murmuring, not because they'd done it, but because I preached on it a lot, because that is one of the things that is destroying our churches tonight. You know what the word murmur means? It means to babble. It means to gripe and complain. It means to speak in an unaudible voice. They sit back there and murmur, 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 murmur. If you go back to the children of Israel when they left Pharaoh's bondage and started to the promised land, you find that word mentioned I don't know how many times that they murmured against Moses and Aaron. They murmured against this. They murmured against that. They'd get in their tents at night and grumble and gripe and complain. Boy, we'd been a whole lot better off if we'd stayed there in bondage. They had to be Baptists. I mean, God had taken them out of bondage and was going to give them everything their hearts desired. All they had to do was listen and obey God. What was it, an 11, 14-day journey, whatever it was, and it took them 40 years to get there because they murmured and grumbled and griped and complained and blamed everything on Moses and Aaron. It's like we are today. They want to blame everything. They want to blame the preacher for everything. He knows. Murmuring. Notice this, the word murmur, what that means to mutter. It means to complain. It means to mumble. But then not only murmuring, look at verse number 14. Do all things, notice this, without murmuring. You say, how can we shine our light? By not murmuring. Now, this is a great church. Wow. This is a great church. I got one. Amen. Listen, you're blessed. Do you realize this? Churches like this are not everywhere. They're not. I'm talking about a church where you can come to the house of God and you know that you're going to hear some good gospel singing. That you know that the man of God is going to get up and preach the word of God. Not from Sears and Roebuck catalog, but you know that you've got a man of God that's going to deliver you what thus saith the Lord. Not every church has that. And I've been in some of them. I've gone to preach in a few of them where you preach the word of God and they sort of look at you as old timers, you say. They look at you at a calf looking at a new barn door. They don't understand what's going on. If you preach this Bible today the way that it is written down in the word of God, you're going to make some enemies. Just because they got Baptists on the sign don't mean that you're going to get Bible preaching. But if there's ever been a time we need faithful Bible preaching, it's the days in which you and I are living. So don't grumble and gripe because the man of God, the brother, I don't know if he's here or not, because you're going to get your tater road plowed one night. There he is. He's back there in the back. I said that a year or two ago, and he reminds me of that every time I come up here. It's like Brother David Thompson. Every time we come up here, he said, "You house hunting?" I did tell him one time, I said, "Well, if you give me the money, I'll buy any house around here." But anyway, murmuring. Notice this. Not only he says do all things without murmuring, but then without disputings. You'd be surprised at the stuff that goes on in a lot of churches tonight. Disputings, that means to argue. It means to strive against. It means to oppose. And again, listen to me tonight. Not every church is on the same page. There's a conflict between the pulpit and the pews or chairs. Not every church is like this. The county that I live in, Pickens County, listen to this. In Pickens County alone, there's over 100 independent Baptist churches. 100. Y'all got a big county. No, it's not that big. Probably 3/4 of them, you know how they got started? From a split. Somebody gets mad over here because the preacher hold their tater row. And they get mad and go down the street a couple blocks and take a few people with them, start another church. Now, I know that don't happen in Madison. I know that don't happen. That's just in South Carolina. So pray for the state of South Carolina. Amen. But churches like this are few and far between. So the Bible tells us if you're going to let your light shine, you've got to do it without murmuring and without disputings. And then notice this. Look in verse number 15, that ye may be blameless. Now that word blameless don't mean sinless. Because none of us here tonight are sinless. As a matter of fact, probably everybody here today has sinned today. Preacher, I hadn't. Well, you just did. You lied. You know, I don't want to sin. If it was in me, I would love to leave the house of God tonight and never break the heart of God again. And I say this a lot of times. Sometimes I get so sick of me, old self, the old flesh rises up. And the preacher talking about hiding the word of God in your heart. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." I believe the more the word of God that we get in our hearts, the less we're going to sin because the sin can't get in where the word of God is. I appreciate the way that people are memorizing scripture. And I noticed this. It's a lot of the young people, and it stirs my heart. I got the chance to preach last Monday, I guess preach, teach, whatever, at the school, and I got to look into the faces of some of these little ones, and I'm talking about from here up to here. And I looked into the faces of these, and I thought, here's what I thought about. These young people are getting a Christian education. And they don't have to put up with what's in our public schools today. And I'm glad and thankful that you're trying to do whatever it is that you can do to help the young people. We passed one of your buses after church today, and we was looking on the bus, and most of them were young people. I looked out over the congregation this morning. I look at that row right there of them young men in the center. That thrills my heart. That stirs my soul. That there's still some young people today, hallelujah, that want to do right, that want to get saved and surrender their life to God and do whatever it is that God wants them to do. I'm not trying to leave the older people back, but there's just something about, because I know where I was as a young man. And I didn't have that opportunity. I was not raised in church. I was about 15 years old, 16 years of age. Before we ever started going to church regular. 20 years old before I got saved by the grace of God. So I wasted 20 years of my life. And I know that Hollywood paints the world, and they paint it as a beautiful picture that you can have all kind of fun, that there's joy and excitement under the bright lights. But listen, what they don't tell you is the end results. You ever been traveling down the highways and you look at all these billboards on the side of the road, and they got all these beautiful billboards up there, and they'll have a picture of a beautiful car and a man standing beside that car, and it looks beautiful and it looks good, but have you ever stopped and got out of your car and walked around behind that billboard? You know what you're going to see? Rotten boards and rusty nails. And that's the end result of living a life out in the world. I know I've been there. I'm ashamed of my past, but can I say this? That I have some regrets. And if you don't have no regrets about your Christianity, then you might need to get an altar and find out why. I have regrets of my life. I have regrets that I've done some of the stuff that I've done. I'm ashamed of the things that I've done, the places I went. But I'm awful glad that the amazing grace of God has been bestowed upon me. And I'm glad that I'm saved by the grace of God. And I want to serve God. I want to live for God. There's nothing out in the world worth living for. And you and I, listen to me, you and I as middle-aged and older people, we need to be an example to the young people. Amen. You need to live in such a way that these young men and these young ladies who are looking at you, you're the preacher, they're not watching me. I guarantee you they are. They're watching your life. They're watching my life. And we need to live in such a way. Listen, we ought to portray Christ as the greatest thing that's ever happened in our lives. Heard a story one time about a man who made the statement. He was talking about how much trouble he was having in his life. He was supposed to be witness to somebody, and he was telling him how much trouble he's had. And then Brother Dave, you know what he said? He said, "Do you want to get saved?" Nobody wants what we got if all we do is grumble and gripe and complain. We as born-again older people and middle-aged people, we ought to be living an example to these young people that are coming up behind us. Can I say this? The young people are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. And I believe with all of my heart, if we as middle-aged and older people would live right, I think we could see more of them get saved by the grace of God. Amen. I know that's the truth. But he said that we may be blameless. That means above reproach. And then verse 15, notice what he said in verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless. That harmless, you know what that means? Preacher said something about Greek, I think, which means, I don't know hardly. The only Greek I know is the one that runs the clock restaurants. Are there any of them up here? A clock restaurant or a Pete's is a hamburger joint down our way in South Carolina. And every one of them are owned and run by Greeks. So the only Greek I know is when I order a good old greasy cheeseburger. You can tell I've eaten a few of them. But in the Greek, I have been told, and I've got this from other preachers, the word here about harmless, it means unmixed, it means pure, and it means pleasing. If we're going to be an example and let our light shine, we've got to not murmur. We have to be not disputing. We have to be blameless and then harmless. And then notice in verse 15, without rebuke. That word rebuke means without blemishes. I want to live in such a way that people can see Christ in my life. Now, listen, I fall short of that so many times. But God knows my heart. I want to live right. We have three children. And I wanted to live right in front of them. And now they're married and have their children. We have seven grandkids. I want to live right in front of my grandkids. I know mom and daddy's going to live right in front of them, but I want to put an exclamation part on Christianity, and I want my grandkids to be able to look at Nana and Papa and say that there is a God. Amen. We can be an example to them, and I want to be an example to them. I want to be a good example, not just an example, but I want to be a good example to them. And then in verse number 16, holding forth the word of life. That means giving out the light, giving out the word of God. But then notice this in verse number 16, by living in the light of the day of Christ. And I believe that day of Christ is the judgment seat. Do you realize that one of these days that you're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ? Yeah. Hebrews 9:27 has appointed unto me and wants to die, but after this the judgment. And you and I are going to stand before the Lord one day, and we're going to give an account of our life. I believe, and you can disagree with me if you want to. I got saved February the 20th, 1977, 44 plus years ago. And I believe that I'm going to give an account of everything that I've done since the day I got saved until the day I die or the day the rapture takes place. Now, you may not agree with that. I'm not going to be judged for my sin. I've already been judged for my sin, and I was guilty. And Jesus paid that sin debt, but I'm going to give an account of the deeds done in my body, what I've done for Christ. I've tried to serve Him since I got saved. I've tried to be what God wanted me to be. I've miserably failed Him, but God knows my heart. I want to live right. I want to do right. I want people to see Christ in my life. And the way that they're going to see Christ in my life, if we do what according to the Word of God. Brother David said something about the Word of God this morning and how the Word of God will change your life. I'm a big proponent, I guess I can, that's the word I can use, about the Word of God. You see, there should never a day go by that you don't open up your Bible and read it and study it and hide the Word of God in your heart. You ought to get up every day, and the first thing you do is open up your Bible and read the Word of God. Since I retired back in June, my wife and I, we get up in the mornings and we eat breakfast. And while we're eating breakfast, we watch this Bible teacher that we found many years ago, and he has on television. We watch him on YouTube. He is on 30-minute broadcasts. What's one right after the other? He starts in Genesis and goes all the way through Revelation. And we sit down every morning, and while we're eating our breakfast, we turn the television on and watch that man teach the Word of God. Now here's what I'm saying: I have learned a lot in 44 years of being saved by the grace of God. But can I say that I don't know it all. So what we do, we sit down for an hour and a half, sometime 2 hours, and listen to him teach the Word of God. And then we get tired and have to take a nap. I know what the Bible says, and I think Brother Brandon mentioned this morning. The Bible says much study is a weariness to the flesh. Now, that's in the Bible. I don't know exactly where, but I know it's in there. If I try to remember where it was, I'll get you all messed up. But it's in there, I know. Much study. Somebody know where it is? It may be. But I know this. It's in the Bible. Here's what I'm trying to say. This Bible will change your life if you let it. And I wished as a younger man, let me give you this, and I'm almost through. We used to go to a youth camp down in Georgia. And I was a middle age, probably 25 years old, 26 years old, something like that. And we would go to that youth camp every year. And those young people would memorize the books of the Bible, starting in Genesis and quote them all the way through. That was the thing back then. It was not a lot about remembering verses. The thing was just remember the books of the Bible. And I'll be honest with you, I'd sit there and I couldn't do it. And I was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost when I wanted to be. a preacher of the gospel, but I couldn't memorize the books. Preacher, I can. Well, we're going to let you do it here in a little bit. But anyway, you know what I've done? Brother David, I bought me some little index cards, little 5x7 index cards. And I wrote the books of the Bible down. And I was working at Michelin Tire Corporation at the time. I drove a forklift. And I'd go to work, and I'd take them index cards, and I'd tape them up over the mask, top of the forklift. And I'd ride around, do my job, get caught up a little bit, and I'd sit back there and prop back, and I'd start and go down that way. I'd do 5 at a time. And it didn't take long till I finally got to the point where I could do every one of them. But here's what I'm saying. You know what it took? Studying. Repetition. If we would ever get into this Bible, it would absolutely change your life. So let me ask you, you want to live for the Lord? You want to let your light shine? Those little few things right there is how that we can let our light shine in this world in which we're living. I want to close with this. I was not going to do it, but take your Bible just for a moment. Turn over to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33. I want to show you the importance of letting our light shine. Now, if you know anything, if you are a Bible student, you will know that Ezekiel chapter 33 and Ezekiel chapter 3 are twins. They have to do with mostly the same thing. And I'm not going to take the time to look at every one of these verses, but look with me in Ezekiel 33. Look with me at verse number 7, 8, and 9. You're talking about some good preaching. There was some outstanding preaching in Ezekiel 33. But look at verse number 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Now, how do we warn? Look what he said. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou doest not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Look at verse 9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And you know what these verses are telling us? That if you and I, as a child of God, if we do not warn the wicked, when God puts them in our path, let me give you an illustration. Right after I got saved, I was at a mall, and I seen a young man coming toward me, and I knew him. And I knew him because he and I had some dealings. I'd buy drugs from him. That's before I got saved. But I had gotten saved, Brother David. And God saved my soul and took me out of that. Been saved probably 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, something like that. And I seen him coming. And almost immediately, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, tell him what I've done for you. But I didn't. I seen him coming. And I went into another store, and I stood there and watched over my shoulder till he went by. So on a Saturday afternoon, later on that night, that young man was killed in a car wreck. I got up the next morning. It was on a Friday. Saturday morning, I got up. I was eating breakfast, and I was reading the newspaper, and there was an article in there about a wreck, and I got to read it, and it was that young man. The first thing hit my heart was, he died and went to hell. And at the judgment seat of Christ, his blood is going to be upon my hands. Preacher, I don't believe that. you don't believe the Bible. That verse number 8 tells us that if we do not warn the wicked and they die in their sins. And I believe if God lines it up, and listen, God lined that up for me personally, one-on-one, to tell him what God had done for me, and I didn't do it. And when I read that Saturday morning, it spoke volumes to my heart, and I went outside. I got in my car, and I started riding around, tears flowing out my eyes because I disobeyed God. And I knew unless something happened to that young man between the time I saw him and the wreck, I think, happened at 2:10 in the morning, he went out to eternity to meet God. If he did not get saved, his blood's going to drip off my hands at the judgment seat of Christ. And I begged God. I said, Lord, please, please don't ever let that happen again to me. And I've tried, by the help of the Lord, to witness. You see, every now and then, God may line your path up with somebody that you can witness to and talk to them about the Lord. But you know what? They're not going to listen if we don't live right in front of them. You can tell them all day long, but they're not going to listen to what you got to say. They're more interested in what you do. Church, listen to me tonight. We need to let our light shine more than we ever have before in our life. If there's ever been a time that the light of Christ that's inside of us needs to be shown out, it's the days in which you and I are living. But that other verse tells us this, that if we warn them and they still die in their sin and they go to hell, we have delivered our soul. We've delivered ourselves from their judgment. And I do not want anybody to watch my life. You see, we're either a stepping stone or a stumbling block. And I realize who I'm preaching to tonight. I believe with all my heart, you're good people. But can I ask us a question tonight? How bright is our light shining in this world in which we're living? Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? As Miss Emily comes to the piano tonight and begins to play, could I ask you a question tonight? Are you here tonight? You say, Preacher, I need some help with my Christian life, and I need the Lord to help me to let my light shine. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand and take it right back down? God bless you. Maybe you want to get out of your pew and come down to this altar and have a talk with the Lord tonight. Whatever God has dealt with your heart about, church, obey the Lord. Let him help you tonight. Let's be people of the light so that a lost and dying world don't die and go to hell. That young man, if he's in hell, he's in hell because I didn't witness to him, because I didn't warn him. Could I urge upon you, don't get in that situation. Be the light that God wants you to be tonight. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You may be here tonight. You say, Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. Preacher, I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. Preacher, I want you to pray for me that I'll get saved before I die or the rapture takes place. Anybody here tonight say, Preacher, I'm lost. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand and take it right back down? Would you let me pray for you? Preacher, I'm lost. I'm gung done. I'm on my way to hell. And I want you to pray for me. Anybody, preacher, please pray for me quickly. Preacher, pray for me. With your own testimony, everybody here tonight is saved by the grace of God. And while these are praying, would you let the Lord help you? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would take the message, that you would use it for your honor and for your glory. I pray for these that are in the altars. I pray that you would meet their need according to your perfect will. Speak to our hearts tonight. God, I pray that our hearts have been challenged tonight from the Word of God. Have your will in your way, and we'll love you and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.